Everybody in here ought to be able to quote it probably by now. Better get my glasses on. Now, just to do a little background, what had happened here, this man, he had what the Bible calls a lunatic son. We would probably call him epileptic. He would have these spells that throw him in the fire and the water and different things. And he had brought his son to Jesus' disciples to cast the demon out, and they couldn't. Now, here in verse 23, but I'm going to back it up to 22. This is the Father talking. It says, oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, you're talking to the Son of God. He's seen Jesus casting out devils, doing miracles, healing the sick, but he's telling him here, if you can do anything. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, that's a qualifier. He said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, I've said this before. Some people, they want to lose weight, or they need to lose weight. Some people want to gain weight. Some people want to save money, you know. So, is it possible that you can? Absolutely. According to this verse, all things are possible, but you got to believe that you can. See, there's some people, they don't believe they can quit doing this or they can start doing this. Let's look at Philippians 4. Some things are loud, aren't they? I could tell when you cut it off. Now, verse 12, this is the Apostle Paul talking. And he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. That means, in other words, I know how to live and be at peace and content and undisturbed when I have not everything that I need, when I don't have enough. He says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. That's when you got plenty. He says, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, the Amplified says it this way. He says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength to me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Now, I wrote it down here. Is it possible that somebody can become a faithful tither? Because we know what the Bible says about tithing here. Many people don't believe that they can. That's why they don't, you know. I wrote, is it possible that I can obey God quickly every time? That I could be right in the middle of a scream and God say, stop, and I just stop? Absolutely. I'm not there yet, but I'm going there. I said, can I get angry and not sin? The Bible says I can. Or lose my temper and be out of control. Now see, for me, this is one that has tried to hold on to me my entire life. I mean, from the time I was a little kid that I can remember, you know. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the Lord's been helping me, and for just over a month, I have not been out of control, not one time. Now y'all might think, well, a month? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, I have broke the coffee table. I mean, all kinds of junk as a Christian. But see, it doesn't matter what the area is. That's the whole point. Who is in control? If you don't like the way your body looks, who's in control of it? If you don't like the weight that you are, now like doctors say, for my height and build and everything, I should weigh somewhere around 145 to 150. To me, for me, that's too little. I feel better and stronger at about 155, 160. You know, something like 5-10 pounds difference. Because I've been that weight before, and I don't feel strong. And I don't like that. And I don't believe that's the will of God for me. Well, other people, smaller, they feel better or whatever. But for me to be able to get angry, and I'm going to tell you something. When you start working on this stuff, all kinds of things will happen. I've been working on, Scotty calls it a diet. I mean, if the man has to eat a chicken breast, we're on a diet. You know, that's just not his thing. And he told Joe, I put that in the air fryer. No, I didn't. It was in the Instapot. And the reason it didn't have any seasoning on it is because I wanted a little barbecue sauce on mine, and he don't like that, and he wasn't there, so I didn't know what seasoning he wanted on it. So if he has to eat a chicken breast or broccoli, I mean, he don't like anything green much. You know, so he's on starvation or whatever. Well, no, we're not on a diet. Where I'm trying to make healthier choices. That's all. A diet, you restrict yourself from almost everything that you like or whatever. Well, we're not on that. Now, maybe that's what he feels. Well, lo and behold, I had made this decision and this commitment before the Lord. Lord, help me, you know, to make right choices and different things like that. It's not about losing the weight. Do you realize you cannot be overweight and be totally unhealthy? Or you can be a little overweight and really be kind of healthy. You know, so it's not necessarily about the weight. It's about being healthy, you know, and living and being here and doing our job till the Lord wants to receive us. But anyway, lo and behold, he knows this. Y'all heard about it Wednesday. I watched y'all. I mean, him. So I know, heard all about it. But anyway, he goes in, we told him to get something or other. And there's a guy in front of him, and the lady there don't say nothing. But when he gets up there to pay, she tells him, look, we've got these three slices of pizza. Y'all know they sell them big slices of pizza in them little boxes. We got to get rid of this. She's telling Scotty this, so he says, you know, he's telling me about it. And he tells her, nah, I don't want that. You know, it's hot. I'm not going, no, you've got to take it. We've got to get it out of here. You've got to take it. So he tries to give it to the man in line behind him. No, I don't want that. Guess what he does with it? He tries to give it to the grandkids. No, they won't eat that kind of pizza. Theirs has to be a certain little round thing or something other. Anyway, they're spoiled about that. Well, guess what he does with it? He brings it home and says, I know you probably don't want it, but the lady at the store just made me take it. Here's three slices of pizza. Anybody that knows me knows pizza is my most favorite food. Why am I telling you that? I knew 3 days before that happened, somehow that was going to happen. Now, I didn't know it was going to come through him or in that way. I figured maybe somebody would try to buy me a biscuit or some lunch or something other down those lines. Why am I telling you all that? Because any time that you make a commitment before the Lord to rein your flesh in any area, you better believe people and things are going to get out of control. This whole month, now Scotty usually don't act up, and I'm going to tell on him. Usually I'm the one mad and out of control over anything. I mean, from driving, I've been driving down the road before and somebody do something, get up to the stop sign or red light beside them. My face is pressed up against the window over here. And my mouth is moving, and I'm saying some stuff. And they're right here beside. So that's what I'm talking about. I mean, to the point of stuff like that. But lo and behold, I made a commitment. I told Scotty on vacation, I said, when we get home, I'm going to work on me. Why? I know this stuff's not okay as a Christian. I know that. And I don't want to be that way. And in my spirit, I'm not like that. The only thing that is I have yielded to the flesh and yielded to the flesh to where it is split seconds, spontaneous, nearly just out of control. So I've been working on me. You know, the Lord's been helping me. I've been believing that he's helping me. Therefore, I'm receiving grace and all that. And lo and behold, guess who starts acting up, Johnny? And he don't act up. That swimming pool has tried to drive him nuts. Y'all heard a little bit. I hear it every day he goes to work on it. I'm telling you right now, I don't think I'm anointed for this, blah, 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 swim pool, blah, blah, to the point I told him, I'll just sell it, forget it. Why am I saying that? Because, see, usually temper really gets me real quick. Y'all don't know what I'm saying? That somebody coming at me or griping or something other, usually I'll get in the flesh real quick, and here we go. Well, lo and behold, I tried to help him. I tried to make him calmer. I never got mad and got out of control. And that's pretty much over with him. But I know why it was. Because, see, anywhere that I'm out of control or that I'm not in control of me, I don't care if it's my eating habits or temper or whatever it is, the devil gains access to me anytime he wants, like I'm a puppet. All he has to do is put a little pressure on my flesh with the pizza. Y'all not saying nothing. See, I didn't buy it at the store, therefore I didn't know it was coming to the house. I can pass it up at the store, you know, way better than I can when it's in the cabinet or sitting on the stove or something. So I passed it up there, but guess who sent it? The Lord just blessed you, Teresa. Free pizza. No, he did not. Well, having a bad temper or getting out of control real quickly with your temper and sinning or whatever, that's not good. So therefore, I'm like a puppet on a string. Anytime he wants to me be upset and lash out and sin or whatever, let somebody pull out in front of me. Let Scotty smart me up. Let somebody else do something stupid. Sometimes I think, is there no common sense in this world anymore? Where did you get your driver's license? I'm serious. I have a caution yellow truck, and a lot of times they will set at that stop sign until I'm like, I don't know, 25 feet away, seems like, and then pull out and go 20. There was one the other day, I'm telling you, she did that or whatever, and Scotty was with me. Sat right down here at that little yield thing, you know, before you get to Dollar General when you're coming from that way or whatever. There's a truck sitting at the stop sign, a car sitting at the yield, and they waited till I got right there and pulled out in front of me. Now, I didn't get mad, but I went, but I did not get mad. Usually, I would be mad, and I'm on your bumper, and I see you looking at me in the mirror, and you see, read my lips. I did not get mad. I blowed the horn, let you know, that's not okay. You know, you should probably check yourself before you do that again. I might have just, if I'd have been somebody else, I might have speeded up and just hit you in the Bahama Trail. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, Lord. Listen, everybody got issues. I don't care who you are. Your issue may not be my issue. My issue may not be your issue. But we all got them somewhere, and we're supposed to be dealing with them. And the church said nothing. We all should have said amen. And see, just like that, I mean, I tell y'all this stuff about me, and I'm like, God, why do they even come keep listening to me? I don't know if I would listen to me. You know, the stuff that I tell myself sometimes, and there's more than that, I just don't tell y'all, you know. But anyway, like this morning, don't let anything that I say or that I get on make you feel condemned. You can't come out if you walk in condemnation. Because the only way you're going to come out is by faith accessing the grace that God has already bestowed on us. And condemnation says, I'm a filthy worm, I can't do it, I need to just quit. I've had some of that, of things that it seemed like I just could not quit doing, that I knew was not the will of the Lord for me to do. Y'all know what I'm saying? So don't let no condemnation come, but at the same time, I seriously doubt that you're in here and you don't have anything to work on. It may not be your weight. It may not be your finances. It may be your bad attitude. It may be your negative thinking. I don't know. Whatever it is for you, right? Okay, so 1 John 5:4. Let's read it. Let Zach put it up and read it. We won't have to turn over there, so it's just one verse we're going to read. He says, For whatsoever is born of God, are you born of God? Amen. If you've been born again, you're born of God. Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, he says, even our faith. So if you're born again, you're supposed to be overcoming. I'm supposed to be overcoming, right? Now, look at Ephesians 2. Verse 1, he says, and you he hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Didn't we just get through reading that if we've been born again, we overcome the world? He says here, we used to walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation. That word conversation, we would say today, conduct. In times past, in what? The lust of our flesh. The devil ain't your problem. He's not my problem. I have the authority and power to enforce his defeat that Jesus has already done. That's all I do. I don't have to defeat him. He's already defeated. But he's an outlaw, therefore I have to enforce that. And I don't have a problem doing that. Right here is the problem that I have, is me. You don't weigh or have the help that you want because of you. Some people say, well, God made me this way. Then that means for 35 years or 55 years, however old you are, God has ordained everything that you have ate and you have drank for that 55 years. I don't think so. I know for me that's not the case. But he says, in the lust of our flesh, or you'd say strong desire of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, which we know by now, we've been born again, we have a new nature. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, listen to verse 3 in the Amplified. He says, among these we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our what does that say? Yeah, corrupt. I've got it underlined so I only see half of the word here. Corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings, we were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation, excuse me, like the rest of mankind. So this is the very reason why you have Christians that smoke dope. Y'all not saying that. Now listen to me. Not everybody that does drugs or alcohol, they're necessarily doing it for the buzz or the high. Some people do it to self-medicate. Some people have sleeping problems. Some people have emotional problems. Some people have what they say anxiety problems. You know, I've heard of people, they drink because they have anxiety issues. They have them a couple of beers and they feel a little looser, you know. They're not wound so tight all the time. You know, different reasons why people do what they do. But how many knows God has an answer for everything? And God can help us with any problem, and he wants to, and every problem that we have. Because most of the time when people are trying to self-medicate all with stuff like that, all they're doing is you're bringing yourself into further bondage. But it doesn't feel like that. It feels like you have no other choice. You can't in your mind see another option. But that's why the Bible talks about in Romans 12:2, we have to renew our mind with the Word of God. Because we just... excuse me. I got through reading the scriptures that says, I can do all things through Christ. If you have sleeping problems, you know, and I have had that myself, God has a scripture in his word that says he gives his beloved sweet sleep. You know, David talked about sleep and different things. So, I mean, there's something in the word for every problem that we have. But yet at the same time, sometimes because we don't know, because you grew up that way, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we got Christians, they smoke pot, you know. They love the Lord. They say they do, and I have no reason to doubt them other than that. The Bible says you know them by their fruit, but I mean they do everything else, but they smoke pot every day, all day long. You got other people, they drink. You got other people, they eat. Do you know there's what's called comfort foods? Do y'all know I can eat a brownie, especially if it's a little bit warm, and I feel it. You know how they say about the high of heroin, you know, you feel that warm all over? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway. So today, I never did heroin, so I don't know, but I have family that has or whatever. You know, they have this warm sensation all over their body. A brownie gives me that. I'm serious. So, if I feel bad, Scotty's on my nerves, reckon what I want to do. I want to feel better. So just get me a brownie. And there's other ones, they call them comfort foods and all of that stuff. Well, I mean, I shouldn't be turning to a brownie. I shouldn't be turning to pot or alcohol or anything. Why? Because God doesn't want me serving these things. All these things, you know, I had somebody tell me one time, they was talking about somebody else that was doing meth and different stuff, you know. And they have a major weight problem. You know, they told me, said, well, you know, I have to eat, but they don't have to do dope. Well, now, let's just examine that statement. No, they don't have to smoke dope. They have to breathe, but they don't have to breathe smoke, right? That person's got to eat. They don't have to eat the house down. And they don't have to eat the pie at 2 o'clock in the morning. And they don't have to eat 5 hamburgers at one meal. Y'all come on now. So it doesn't matter. The principles are all the same. The addictions or the whatever it is you're doing, it may be different. But the principles of the Word of God, they're all the same. Because this is what every one of us deal with every single day. You cannot get away from your flesh. You'll hear people, I dealt with pride. Ooh, you're already in it. If you think you dealt with pride one time when you got saved, we all see you're in it, but you think you're right. Pride has to be dealt with all the time. It's the nature of the flesh, right? Of course. Well, every one of us has flesh, and you cannot get away from it. It's all the time wanting its own way. I don't care if it's, like this morning, Scotty said something to me about the door. We had the doors open because my hair probably smelled like a bacon fest here. I got up and the house was like on fire with bacon smell. So I opened the doors up, you know, because he's cooking breakfast and everything. Well, I come in from outside and I didn't know he had closed that door on purpose. Well, I come in the living room and that door's closed, so I thought, well, he closed them on purpose, so I went and closed that door over there back. He said, did I leave that door open? I said, no. I said, I didn't know you had closed it on purpose, but I seen this one closed, so I closed it back. You know, I figured you wanted it closed. I said, so I closed it, Master. Now, in my mind, I was thinking, I'm trying to work on something, and because he's not used to that, he wants to try to flare me up. I'm in it good. He was taking it, I'm in it sarcastically or something. And so he said something. And I told him, I said, I thought about Abraham and Sarah when I said that, Scotty. I didn't mean nothing bad about that. Then he goes on talking, and I said, you can't hush. You just got to keep on talking. And he keeps talking, and he keeps talking. I said, you still got to be talking? So I just quit talking. Mama said, it don't matter. Any area, any person, any situation. I mean, there's some people, Scotty, he used to be addicted to certs. I kid you not, my stepdad, when he went to church, he would always have a pack of them cinnamon certs in his pocket. Well, he got gave Scotty some at church one time, and lo and behold, we couldn't go to church without 3 packs of certs in his pocket. I mean, he just popped them like our candy or whatever, you know. See, it doesn't matter, whatever it is. I mean, God doesn't want us addicted to anything but him. God doesn't want us to have to do anything but him. Just like this. Things that we have or whatever. Say God wants me to go on a fast. How am I going to go on a fast, Sandy, if I can't pass up a biscuit in the morning? There's some people you do not want to be around them if they have not had their coffee. And I didn't call no names, and I'm not talking about nobody. I'm just saying, generally, big coffee drinkers or whatever, and they will even tell you sometimes, don't look at me, I ain't had my coffee yet. And they got to have a whole pot or two before you can look at them. How many knows? All the devil has to do is not let you get your coffee. And you are yielded to the flesh to the max. You will cuss somebody out. You will hurt somebody. I'm not kidding. But see, it doesn't matter what it is. Coffee? Are you serious? Yeah, coffee. Somebody that smokes or whatever. Good Lord, if they don't have their cigarettes, there's hell to pay. I'm telling you. I don't care what it is. Some people's addicted to chewing gum. No matter what it is, God wants his people to be completely and totally free. So this, just like this, some people, they love their family more than they love God. God wants them to go to India as a missionary or what. I can't, God. Why? My mom and them lives here, and I just can't leave mom and them. That sounds like it probably wouldn't happen. You would be surprised. I've heard people in Bible college, and they had to drop out of Bible college because they miss mama's cooking. Are you serious? That we have brought serving God down to such lowness. And I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about you have this stuff worldwide. It doesn't matter what it is. God wants us, whenever he speaks, instant. I obey him. And it's not just because God doesn't want me having fun or God don't want me eating food I like or doing what I like. No, it's freedom for us. And he needs us here in the earth for him to be able to do things. So let's look at, here comes that one. 1 Corinthians 10. I mean, like I said, just because I'm the one up here teaching this or whatever, don't think I don't have issues to deal with. I mean, my goodness, y'all hear about most of them. So you should know. But see, just because if God had to have somebody that didn't have an issue anywhere to teach something, he wouldn't find anybody. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Just because I may not be in a place where I don't have some kind of issue, that doesn't change the word. You understand? A lot of people, they'll say, well, nobody's perfect. Well, no, I'm getting about 3 messages ahead of myself. That is not what he said. He said, be holy for I am holy. He says, the servant is not greater than his master, but he should be like his master, right? Oh. A lot of times that statement right there is nothing more than pride making excuse for your issues or my issues. Because what I should say is, Lord, I'm sorry, I missed it, I repent, and now we're going to do right. Right? All right. I'm going to read this in Amplified. I really like the way it breaks it down. Now, we read the scripture, Mark 9:23, you know, that all things are possible to him that believes. Believing is the qualifier for all things to become possible to you. We read Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now here, in verse 13, he says, for no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads. Did you see what it says? No matter how it comes or where it leads to. He says, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance. Is there a woman, or even women nowadays, is there a woman that can't be resisted? I've heard guys say that before. Just couldn't help it. That's a lie, ain't it? Ladies, or even men, is there a man that can't be resisted? You better believe there's not. If I ever get rid of the one I got, I'm going to resist them all. I don't want another one. I love him, and I don't want no more. Is there a biscuit that can't be resisted? Is there a drink that can't be resisted? No. Is there a Copenhagen that can't be resisted? Absolutely not. But see, the thing about it is, in our thinking and what we believe in our heart, we feel like, I can't. I can't not drink this coffee. I can't not smoke this cigarette. I can't not drink this beer. I can't forgive them. I can't tell you how many Christians I have heard over the years, I can't forgive them. That's a lie. But when you believe lies, you live lies. That's why we have to have the Word of God, because this is truth. And the only thing that's going to break down the walls filled with lies and strongholds in our heart and mind is the truth. But I have to quit making excuses for wherever I am and embrace the truth of the word, right? So therefore, he says, there's nothing I can't resist. Nothing. Ain't no devil, ain't no demon, ain't no man, ain't no brownie, nothing that I can't resist. He goes on and he says, that is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience. In other words, the devil can't pick nothing he ain't used on somebody before. He says to his companions, and such as man can bear, but God is faithful to his word and such to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of what? Resistance. So if there's something before me or an issue that I have, this word right here tells me it's not something that I cannot overcome. Because in my spirit, I'm already an overcomer. But God fully intends for that to be worked out in my soul and in my body. And a lot of people think their body's not a big deal, that it's your spirit. No. The Bible says he wants to sanctify us holy, spirit, soul, and body. My body is very important. Your body's very important. You lose this body right here, and God don't have access through you no more. You leave here. And there's things that he has for us to do. He says, strength of existence and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that ye may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. Therefore, my dearly beloved, shun, keep clear away from, avoid by flight if need be, any sort of idolatry of loving or venerating anything more than God. When I read that verse last night, it made me think of Joseph. Y'all remember him, right? He had that coat of many colors, you know, and all that stuff, and they sold him into slavery because they was jealous. And then he gets to Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife just got the hots for him, you know, all the time, trying to get him to do stuff with her and everything. And you know the story, one day he's in the house, you know, and she grabs him. She's going to put it on him, boy. She grabs him. And when she does, he's got on a jacket. And when she does, he runs. He don't stand there and say, well, you know, you are a good-looking woman. Nobody'd ever find out. No, he runs. And when he runs, I mean, he comes right out of his jacket. He leaves his clothes there. He is gone. And see, that's what it's saying here. That when things come up, or what, see, what we like to do a lot of times is play with things. Y'all not saying nothing. Play with things. I'm not going to do it much. I'm not going to eat the whole box of brownies. Be careful there once you get started. Been there, done that. Whole pack. Y'all know them big old packs of Reese's? I don't know. Maybe there's 6 or 8 in those Reese cup things, you know? I ate a whole pack of them at one time, boy. Just like that. I'm serious. And I'm serious. And then stand there and cry. Because I just could not seem to stop myself from eating that whole pack. And sometimes if you got an issue with something, sometimes you need to stay completely away from it for a while. Not that you can't ever have that again, you know. But for a time, I had to do that with the brownies. There was a time I had to stay completely away from them little chocolate brownies with the sprinkles on top. Because I would just eat the whole box. And then cry and say, Lord, help me. Do you realize how many Christians is in that place? Temper problem and get mad and blow up and break things and put your hands on people and hurt people and call people names only to feel so bad and cry and say, God, help me never do that again. Been there, done that. Can't tell you how many times. So it doesn't matter what it is. But he says here, there's nothing that I cannot resist. Nothing. I can resist anything. And see, why am I keeping on with this? Because we got to get our mind renewed to this. There's people, I can't lose weight. I've tried 50 times. Well, we don't care about that. What we care about is today. What about today? Forget about those things that are past. Forget about you ain't been able to stop smoking for 25 or 35 years. Forget about you been an alcoholic since the age of 10. You know what I'm saying? Forget about all of that. What about today? The Bible says now faith is. Right now, we need to get in the Word and get our spirit strong and get the Word built up and our mind renewed to where we can believe we can. Because if you don't believe you can, you can't. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If I don't believe I can, I can't. I've been at the house before and I ain't did this in quite a few years. I mean, I've had months of sitting on the couch, you know, different stuff, all that head stuff. But anyway, we moved over to our place. There wasn't no grass much or whatever. It was big ditches, and I mean just big rocks out there. And Scotty and Travis, you know, I want them rocks gone, moved, and all that stuff. And Scotty says, we need a tractor for that. And Travis's like, yeah, we can't do that. I'm telling you, that makes me so mad. The feeling. And I thought to myself, you got to have a tractor for that. So I asked the Lord to help me, and I go over there, and I pick the rocks up, and I move them. Why am I saying that? I could have said that, I can't. I want them gone, God, but I just can't. I know you can't help me do that. God can help you do anything that you need to do, that he tells you to do, or he wants you to do. Why am I bringing that up about the rock? Because there's some people, they are so weak, they can't even fight bed sheets to get out of the bed to go to church. And it's nothing more than yielding to the flesh and believing you can't, or believing something else, or believing that it's not good for you to go to church, or it's not needful for you. You're done deceived. According to Scripture, we all need him and each other. There's times that I can tell you that I've been going through things or whatever, and I have only come for God and you guys. That if it had just been me, if I didn't have a position to fill here or something to do or care about how my actions would affect you, I would not have been here. And probably all of us in here may go through some of that at times. So therefore, I need you guys. You guys need me. Now, maybe you don't think you do, but I'm telling you, you do. So we can resist anything and everything, right? Now, Proverbs 18:14. You can put it up, Zach. We're not going to turn over there. We've done read this one. He says, the spirit of a man, that's the Amplified Bible, says the strong spirit of a man. There's some people, because it can't be just the spirit, because how many knows, there's some people, they are so spiritually weak, they cannot even read their Bible. The flesh is that strong and dominant in their life. They won't even read their chapter. But it says, the strong spirit of a man, he says, will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? So, look at Matthew 26. We're going to find out something here, if we didn't already know it. And if you did already know it, stir yourself back up. Because like I said, you got an issue somewhere. Might be one can't nobody even see, but God knows it's there. Somebody told me this morning they just had to repent for thinking bad thoughts about people. That's a good thing to do. And that's a good place. You ain't said it yet, so you just had to repent for thinking it. Right? So that tells me you evidently you've grown a little bit. But here in Matthew 26, verse 39. Oh, that's 25. That don't look right. What did I say, 26? Yeah. This is where Jesus is in the garden, and he took his disciples with him in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and then he takes, I think it's Peter, James, and John a little further than the rest of them, and he tells them to stay there. Verse 36, it says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. This word here, it means you're in your spirit, you are predisposed to obey God. Did y'all hear what I said? There's never a time your spirit wants to disobey God, ever, after you get born again. But what? Notice what he says. He says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the weakness is where? In the flesh. And everybody got flesh. So what's that mean? Anywhere that I am disobeying God, or that I have habits, or that I have addictions, I don't care what it is. There's some people, I'm telling you, their flesh is so out of control, they'd be $10 million in debt. Because they just buy every little thing on credit that their little flesh desires. And have y'all ever watched Hoarders before? Some of them people, they have spent their lifetime, and they are flat broke eating cat and dog food, and their house is filled to the ceiling of brand new stuff. So see, it doesn't matter what it is. It's wherever you are weak at in your flesh or in your spirit. Because he says here, our spirit is predisposed to obey God, but the weakness comes from the flesh. So wherever I've been yielding to the flesh and letting my flesh rule, I'm going to have a problem there. And I'm going to have a problem obeying God. Just like this. Say God wants me, just like he told them right there, to pray for an hour at 4 o'clock in the morning. What am I going to have to do? I ought to have to set my clock when the one eye pops open. At 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to have to get my little flesh up and go pray. Y'all know Jerry Savelle? No? So anyway, I heard he told this story one time. God had told him to get up. I think it may have been 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. The time don't really matter. But anyway, told him, I want you to get up and I want you to pray. I think he said for an hour every morning before you start your day or whatever. Now, you got a command from God about when and how long. So what do you do? You got to do it, right? Well, he gets up, you know, and he said the first day he's sitting there, you know, and he falls asleep. Well, the next day he's sitting there and he's thinking, well, I could just lay down here across the bed. I'm not going to go to sleep. Falls asleep. So this is what he does. He says, okay, flesh, we're going to get up and we're going to pray. You know where he prays the next morning? Standing on the side edge of the bathtub praying for his 1 hour. Why? Because he knows if I go to sleep, something's going to happen and it's not going to be good for me. You're going to have a knot. You're going to have some bruises or something. Why am I saying that? Because there's one word you got to use on your flesh and one word I got to use on my flesh. No. It's no. Look at, we're going to have to quit after this one because I got about 3 to 4 minutes left, so. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let's see where that is. I don't think I got it wrote down. I think it's, maybe 1 Corinthians 9 that I want to go to. Let's see right quick. Yeah. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll just start 24. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. Now, listen. I heard Gloria Copeland say this a long time ago, and I have come to know it to be true. She said, in your consistency lies the power. Because I don't care if you read 20 chapters today, what about tomorrow? What about 6 months from now? I don't care if you fasted 3 days at the beginning of the year, what do you do all the rest of the year? See, we're not in a sprint. We're in a marathon. This is from the time I get born again till the time I leave here. And so that's kind of what he's talking about here. He says, know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. He says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. In other words, he don't let nothing control him. He says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He says, but I keep under my body. Now notice he makes a distinction. I, the spirit man in here, control this outward man out here, this body. Some people think they're just a body. No, you're not. You're a spirit that has a soul, a mind, a will, and emotions, and you live in a body. Your body's like your car that you drive. But he says there, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that, notice this, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So wherever I yield to the flesh, it's going to cost me. I don't care if it's a brownie. I don't care if it's a cigarette. I don't care if it's meth. I don't care if it's bad temper. I don't care if it's bad attitude, wrong. It don't matter what it is. Notice what he said. Some translation, there's another one he says, I put under my flesh, I beat it black and blue. That's some major saying, ain't it? I mean, that's kind of like, yeah, I look at a woman and with lust or whatever, and you just go, just fuck your eye right quick, because, you know, he's looking at that. That's what he's saying there, literally. You know, not that we got to go around punching ourselves in the eye or anything, but hey, if you need to, do it. Why? Because you'd rather go to heaven with a black eye than to hell with a good one. But notice what he says, lest I become a castaway. I don't know about y'all. I don't want to be a castaway. And I don't know about y'all, but I see some slack when I was studying this stuff and God was showing me this stuff. I can see things that I actually have gotten free before, to not only over a period of time and not keeping up with what I should do, what come back into bondage to some of that. Just like there was a time that I thought, I don't think I could ever get mad again. After I got saved, I remember one time thinking that. I thought, me and Scotty, it's like he would finish my sentence and I would finish his sentence. Oh, and it was just glorious. That's not happened in a long time. But I remember thinking at that time, I don't think we could ever have another argument. And we didn't for a while, but something changed. After that, I broke the coffee table. I mean, I'm serious. So you can be free from things and walk out some freedom, but if you start letting the flesh slip and start yielding to it, I don't care what it is, you'll be right back into it again. So we got to stop because time's up. Does anybody have anything to share